Welcome to church tonight. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ephesians tonight. Ephesians chapter number 2. Always a privilege to be in God's house, no matter when it is, and we appreciate you being back tonight. There's no greater place to be, folks, than the Lord's house when the door is open. And God, for every opportunity we have to be here, and we look forward to what He has for us tonight. Thank you for the choir singing. Thank you for everything that's been done tonight, and we trust God now He will honor Himself through His Word tonight as we preach the Word of God. Ephesians chapter number 2, I'm going to read two verses, very familiar verses tonight. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse number 8. The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the precious word of God. And we thank you, Lord, for its power, its convicting power, its drawing power, its saving power. Oh God, we thank you tonight for this opportunity we have to be together now. Lord, we wait upon you. We trust the Holy Spirit of God now to speak through your word, through your servant tonight, to every individual that's here. Lord, may we be encouraged, and God, Lord, may we be edified. But most of all, God, we pray that you will be glorified in everything we say tonight and everything we do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In verse number 8, the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." I'm thankful tonight for that, aren't you? It is by the grace of God that we are saved. It's nothing that we have done or could do or ever would do. It's all by the grace of God. I'm thankful tonight for salvation and for what God has done for you and I. Tonight I want to talk about this, and along with that verse, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." I want to focus tonight on the grace of faith. The grace of faith. Faith is a very important thing in a person's life. Everybody has faith in something. Amen? Everybody has faith in something. We exercise faith every day. You're exercising faith right now. Will you realize it or not? You're trusting that pew you said on to hold you up, aren't you? That's faith. Faith is a very important thing in our lives, and we use it every day. So we look tonight, as we look here, at the grace of faith. I'm thankful tonight to know that grace, as I try to identify or to define grace, I define it this way, simply, not simply, but Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, He is the grace of God towards us. He's God's grace towards you and I tonight. Now, I'm thankful tonight for His grace. We see here, as we look at the grace of faith, we see in verses 8 and 9 of chapter 2 here, we see the grace of faith is eternally revealed to us. I'm thankful tonight to know that it only takes one time to be saved. Amen? On one time to experience the grace of God and the love of God, and it's settled forever in my heart. And because of that, we can eternally reveal to us the grace of God because of what He's done for us. If it were not for God's grace, certainly none of us would be here tonight. Certainly none of us would be saved tonight. So I'm thankful tonight, first of all, that the grace of God, the grace of faith, is eternally revealed to us every day of our life. I can always reflect back, brothers and sisters, to that place, to that time, to that moment that I trusted Christ as my Savior, He saved me. I can always look back to that time, and His grace is always revealed to me. In times when I'm discouraged, when I'm disheartened, when I'm hurting, no matter what my state is, I can always reflect back on God's grace. The grace of faith. The grace of faith tonight. Now, I want us to notice something in these verses here in Ephesians chapter 2. We find in verse number 1 through 3, we find Paul is writing to the Ephesians here, and he's reminding them of their natural state. Let's look at it just a moment. In verse number 1, Paul says, "And you have the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Paul is reflecting back to, again, telling the Ephesians here what you were at one time. And when we look at this, we can look at what we were. I'm thankful tonight to know that I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I ought to be yet, but thank God I'm not what I used to be, lost in sin, wrapped up in the lust of the flesh, and the things of this world. And we see here Paul is trying to identify them with their miserable state they used to be in. Therefore, if they can appreciate the grace of faith, what God has done for them and through and in their lives. So we see here, and look also in verse number 11. Verse number 11 says, "Wherefore remember that you before you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ." Folks, you remember that time? You remember when you were without Christ, lost and undone? He says, "At that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants and promise, having no hope and without God in the world." You know, I'm so glad tonight that God revealed to me through His Word and by the Spirit of God one time that I could have hope. I did not have hope before I got saved, but I could have hope by putting my faith and my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you see here. So we find here in these verses here the miserable condition of these Ephesians here. But notice something took place in their lives. Look at verse number 4. Verse number 4, the Bible says, "But God," I like that, don't you? "But God," God is always able. God is always there for us. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherein He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, He hath quickened us together with Christ," again, by what? Grace are you saved. But God, I'm thankful tonight for the glorious change that God makes in a person's life. What He made in your life. Thank God for His marvelous grace. Thank God for the grace of faith that God has bestowed upon us here. And we see this here in these verses. Look at verse number 6. "And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Now go down to verse 10. Verse 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were again circumcised, which is called a circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ," again being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, "strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world." Thank God tonight for the glorious change that can take place in a person's life. All because of God's, the grace of faith. The grace of faith tonight. We see here in verse number 7. We see here the grace of faith. We find here, or we said in verse 8 and 9, that the grace of faith was eternally revealed to us because we're saved. And we see in verse number 7 here, we see the eternal grace of faith is eternally revealed through us also. We notice how. God said that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. That's why He saved us, folks, that we might show forth the grace of God, His wonderful grace that He has bestowed upon us. Grace, tonight, we look at, will be eternally exhibited, should be eternally exhibited through the church. The church should magnify, should edify, and should make known the grace of God, the grace of God. We see it in our church here, and I'm thankful for that tonight. We see in the work of God in His creation, we see He displayed His wisdom and also His power. But we see here through His work of redemption, according to verse number 7, we see here God demonstrated His grace, not just the riches of His grace, notice, but He says the exceeding riches of His grace, riches that are beyond measure. Thank God for His grace. Amen? the exceeding grace that he bestows upon us. Now, if you will, turn over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. As we're looking upon the grace of faith, the grace of faith. We see here in Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to look at the nature of it and also the fruits of grace. The nature of grace and also the fruits of grace. We see in verses 1 through 3, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders attained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I'm thankful tonight to know that as we look at the nature of faith, we see it is the substance of things hoped for. The substance of things hoped for. Now, first of all, faith and hope go together. Faith and hope go together. We see here they have the same object. Our faith and our hope has the same object. We also see here faith and hope is a firm persuasion and an expectation to God that he will perform that which he has promised to us in Christ Jesus. God is able to perform what he's promised us, folks. Therefore, if it's a hope, it's a hope that we have. It's faith that we trust God to do what he said he would do. I'm so glad tonight, aren't you, that when I call upon God to save me, he saved me. I'm thankful tonight when I call upon God to help me in my life, he helps me. He helps me every day of my life. It may not be what I want done, but God is always doing something in our lives every day to help us. And I'm thankful tonight to know that. We see here that believers, as born-again believers, we exercise our faith. We exercise our faith with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, I wonder, are we really thankful for our faith tonight? Thankful for our faith. Probably everybody in this church tonight is saved. I don't know. Only God knows your heart. But listen, if you have spiritual faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him as your Savior, you are a blessed person. You are a blessed person. Majority of people in this world have no faith in God, have no faith certainly in Jesus Christ. They may have a faith, quote, in a God, but it's not the true and the living God. You see? But we see here, faith and hope go together. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's the nature of it. Number two, we see in the last part of that verse, it says, for the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. That's faith. That's what faith is. Taking God at his word, you see. Faith demonstrates to the eye or the mind the reality of those things which cannot be discerned by the body. In other words, the body sometimes don't accept things that can happen. Like the mind sees it, you see. So we see here the evidence of things hoped for. Faith, that's what faith is. Notice in verse number 2. The Bible says here, for by it the elders obtain a good report. By what? By faith. The elders obtain a good report, you see. See, the honor, the grace of faith, the honor, it reflects upon them that live by faith and live by grace. My, what a challenge that is. True faith is an old grace, folks. True faith is an old grace. Do you get that? We see here the oldest man and the best man ever lived in the world were believers. They were believers. They acknowledged faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were honored by their faith, and their faith honored them. They were honored by their faith, and their faith honored them. That's one thing about faith, folks. You can't go wrong putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. You can't go wrong. God's faith is going to honor you if you honor him. Dr. Jack Hudson used to say many, many years ago, make much of Jesus and he'll make much of you. And I believe that with all my heart. See, it's all about him. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. See, they were honored. They were an honor to their faith, these men that we're going to look at in just a few minutes, you see. It enabled them. Because of that, we see it enabled them in verse number two to obtain a good report. To obtain a good report, which is very important. So we're thankful tonight for this. So we look here at the nature of faith. See, the nature of faith, is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Thank God tonight for faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we looked at the nature. Let's briefly look at some examples. Look at verse number four. Verse number four, we'll look at some great examples of faith. First of all, we see by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his guilt, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. I like that. He being dead, yet speaketh. When I hear that, I think of our radio preacher, Dr. Oliver B. Green. He's been in glory for years, but he still speaks the Word of God. You know, it's just as real as the next person that speaks on the radio that's sitting behind a mic live. It still speaks. That's one thing about the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful. The Word of God is settled in heaven forever. The Word of God will ever speak to us. And we're thankful tonight for that. So we see here Abel. Abel, we see, first of all, here, he lived by faith and he died for his faith. We see here he is a pattern. He offered up a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. We see he brought of his persons of the flock. We see Cain brought only a sacrifice to acknowledge the fruit of the ground. What did Abel gain by his faith? We see that God gave witness to his righteousness. To his righteousness, you see, by testifying his acceptance of his gift. Now, what does this speak to us? What does this speak to us? This speaks to us in the life of Abel and concerning faith that a fallen man can worship God with a hope of acceptance. A fallen man can worship God with a hope of acceptance. Not only that, it teaches us that God will not suffer injuries done to his people to remain unpunished, nor their sufferings unrewarded. Their sufferings will be rewarded, unrewarded somehow. So we see here the faith of Abel in verse number 4. Now look at verse number 5. Another example we have here. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had the testimony that he pleased God. Can you imagine a testimony such as that? That he pleased God? He pleased God? I know that's your desire. I know that's my desire to please God. But thank God tonight, we see here is Enoch. He was dedicated. He was dedicated to God. We see he walked with God, first of all. You know, we ought to count it an honor and a privilege every day to be able to walk with God. And know that he walks with me. He walks with me and talks with me, as a songwriter put it, a long, nice, weary way. And I'm thankful tonight that he does that. Enoch walked with God. And yet the Bible says he was translated that he should not see death. He should not see death. You see, he had testimony again that he pleased God. What a wonderful testimony. What a wonderful dedication. And what a wonderful example we see here of God's grace, the grace of faith in the life of Abel and also in the life of Enoch. Now look at verse number 6. Verse number 6, the Bible says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. My, thank God for that. He rewards those that seek him. You reflect back to the day that you called upon the Lord sincerely and asked him to save you. He heard you, did he not? And he saved you. Thank God for that tonight. Look at verse number 7. We'll look at another example here. First of all, we go back to Enoch. His faith was active. God has means wherein he can be found. And those who would find God must seek him diligently. God's just not out there in the air. We have to seek him. We have to look for him. We have to find him, you see. We find him through his word. Now, verse number 7, we see by faith Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now look here at Noah. Notice the reason here of Noah's faith. The Bible says in verse number 7, the first part of it, by faith, Noah what? Being warned of who? God. being warned of God, he moved with fear. We see here the reason for Noah's faith. The reason for Noah's faith. I don't know if I get a count tonight, but probably most of us tonight here trusted Christ as our Savior because we were afraid that we were going to die and go to hell. Yeah. There was fear. There was some form of fear in our mind, in our heart, because of that, you see. Here in a great example of Noah, you see, his reason for his faith, he was warned of God by fear. Also here, we see also a response by Noah. We see by faith, Noah being warned of God, of things not seen, moved with fear. He did not hesitate, folks. He moved with fear when God spoke to him. And he was warned of God, you see. We see the acting of his faith. We see he moved with fear. First, faith first influences our affections, then our actions. Faith moves our affections, and then also our actions after that. So we see here, faith works upon those affections. And then moves to the matter that is revealed. His faith influenced his practice. He practiced his faith. I'm glad today to know that, you know, when we look back at Noah and how God used him, man, he was certainly a man of faith. If there's ever been a man in the world that had faith, Noah had faith. He had faith in God, you see. His faith was set him to work. It set him to work. And folks, our faith ought to move us to do something for God. Our faith in God and who he is in my life, in your life, ought to move us to do things for the Lord Jesus Christ every day of our life. There's something we can all do every day in our life. We see here the rewards of Noah's faith in the latter part of verse number 7, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. By faith. So we see the rewards of Noah's faith was he and his house were saved. He and his house were saved. Oh my. I would tonight that us and our house were saved, don't you? Wouldn't you? It'd be a different world, would it not? If us and our house were saved. He judged and condemned the world by his faith, by his faith. Now, we noticed again about Noah here. His fear condemned their vain confidence. We also see his faith condemned their unbelief that they had the world in. His obedience condemned their disrespect to him. Disrespect to him. Someone said that good examples will either, it'll do one of two things. A good example will either convert sinners or condemn them. Convert sinners or condemn them. And that's so true tonight. He became an heir of the righteousness according to the Word of God. He was possessed of a true justifying righteousness. He was an heir to it. I thank God we have a better place over here, folks. We'll join heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ to that place that he has prepared for us, you see. Now, the grace of faith. We've seen the nature of faith, grace of faith. We've seen also the examples of the grace of faith. But let's look now, first of all, at the essence of grace. Grace, the essence of grace is the fact that it is free. It's free. I thank God tonight for free grace. It's God's freedom. It was God's freedom that he is gracious. Nobody can change God's mind. Nobody can change God's heart. God is just a gracious God. Aren't you glad he is? I am. I'm glad he's gracious to all of us. And thank God tonight that he is that way. We see, we sinners deserve to have God against us. We're not worthy, folks, of the grace of God. We're not worthy of the grace of faith that he has bestowed upon us. We also see that yet he sends not a destroyer upon us, not a judge, but he sent himself to come and save by letting himself be destroyed and also being judged for you and I. That's grace, folks. That's grace unexplainable of God. I'm thankful tonight for that. Grace means God's turning to man by undertaking the responsibility for the sin against himself. God put my sin upon him. God put your sin upon his son. That's grace, folks. That's grace we can't explain. That's grace we can't sometimes even understand. Grace is God's free decision upon us in Christ and what he did. Therefore, we have no ability to win his grace or his favor. It was God's choice by giving his son to come and die for you and to die for me. My, do we see tonight the grace of faith? The grace of faith, what God has done for us. Grace must be acknowledged. The grace of God must be acknowledged for what it is, first of all. It's freely given, folks. It's freely given. We can't work it up. It's just a free gift. The grace of God, you see. And it's accepted with human, with a humble and a joyful gratitude. Humble and a joyful gratitude to accept the grace of God. Thank God tonight for that. Our decision as a human being, involving the acknowledgement and also the acceptance in this faith, it corresponds to God's grace. God's grace, the grace of faith. I'm thankful tonight to know that God has poured out his grace upon us, his love upon us. Sometimes, though, I really believe, because we live in a world today, we have the tendency sometimes to take for granted what we have. Amen. We take for granted what God has done for us. He poured out his grace upon us, his love upon us. Sometimes we need to be reminded, when I come to church, do the hymns we sing still stir me? If we're not careful, folks, the songs we sing will just be singing songs. Do the songs we sing stir us when we come to church? There's a message in every song, just like there's a message in every sermon. And sometimes we let it go over our head. We're here just to sing and get the singing done and get the preaching done, and then we'll go home and eat, you know. But do the songs that we sing, do they stir us? We see the grace of faith sometimes is taken for granted. Also, we see sometimes the sermons don't move us. The sermons don't move us. Whenever who it is standing behind this sacred stand, opens the Word of God and reads the Word of God, folks, you know this, but I'm reminding myself and you too, it's not the individual that stands here that speaks to you. It's God through his Word. It's God through his Word. And sometimes the sermons don't move us. We'll sit right here in a pew and we'll say, do the best you can for me. I'm here tonight. You know? But every sermon should move us, because every sermon is for you and for me when it was proclaimed. Thank God tonight for the power in the Word of God. Folks, tonight. But do the hymns stir us? Do the sermons move us? Or we take it for granted, our faith, the grace of faith. God loves you and God loves me enough that he allowed us the opportunity, time and time again, no doubt, to hear the Word of God preached and taught to us, to help us to understand we were lost and needed to be saved, and give us that opportunity to put our faith in Christ. The grace of faith. The grace of faith. We're taking for granted also when God's Word doesn't find lodging in our hearts. When God's Word doesn't penetrate to our heart when it's spoken, we're taking for granted the grace of faith. The grace of faith. Listen, we're about to celebrate a wonderful time in this church. But let's do not forget, if it were not for the grace of faith, first of all, we wouldn't be here. This church wouldn't be here. Our pastor would not have been led by God to do what he did. You know, but it's because of the faith that God gave our pastor almost 50 years ago now, see. God is honoring that faith now because of him, God, because of what God's done through lives of people. Hundreds, no doubt, of people that have been through this church in 50 years. And it's all because of the grace of God, the grace of God. Now, what does your faith in God mean to you? How valuable is your faith to God in your life tonight? Is it worth standing for? Is it worth standing for? You know, we often say this, and I wonder how many of us would really go through this. If somebody came in that door tonight and asked each one of us personally to deny Christ or I'll kill you, I wonder what we would do. Is our faith worth standing for? Will we stand for our faith in Christ? Listen, he stood for us. Not only did he stand for us, he died for us. He died for us. Is your faith, would you stand for your faith? Would you stand for your faith in what you believe in God? Would you live for your faith? Exercise your faith? Be a Christian. Act like a Christian. Talk like a Christian. No matter where you go, what you do, you know, live like one. Because one day we're going to die, folks. One day we're going to die. This life's going to soon be gone. And may it be said to people that come up and view their body, you know, he stood for his faith, he lived by his faith, and now he's died by his faith, for his faith. I'm thankful tonight for the marvelous, wonderful grace of God. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Folks, let's don't take for granted. Let's don't take for granted the grace of God. The grace of God. And the marvelous salvation that he has provided for you and I. I'm thankful tonight to know that God loves us enough to provide a way that we can know him. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you for these examples, Lord, in your words you've preserved through the years and had them to write a part of their lives, inspired by the Spirit of God, the writer did, to give an example to us and for us, Lord, that we too are very blessed to have faith in you because of your grace. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for providing for us the opportunity, the wisdom, the ability, Lord, to put our trust in you by the wooing of the Spirit of God. Father, would you go with us now this week? Please watch over us. Lead us and guide us, God, in all we do today, tonight, and the rest of this week. Lord, may you be honored and may you be glorified in all we do. In Jesus' name we pray.